Good morning, Noah and Russ.
Good morning,
Good morning.
Anna.
How are you doing?
I love your morning voices, it's the two of you.
Yeah, yeah, it's very radiophonic.
It's been a while. So this is TechPoint Charlie. Hello, listeners. You are both managers, and you want to continue to be managers or not?
No.
I have doubts.
Episode over.
Exactly.
Oh, damn it.
We're done here. Yeah. We're done here. So
no, wait, no, because I think we were going to talk about why not do. So
all right. Okay.
Why don't you
want
to be a manager?
Let's touch
I was about to put the end credit.
I was like, that's the shortest short we've ever done.
Well, I want to talk about why I want to be a manager at some day, but all right, so let's dive in, I guess. Who wants to start? Should I? Do you want to, Russ, tell us why you don't want to be a manager anymore? Or
no, of course, I'm joking. Semi-joking, at least. Yeah, so, but yeah, let's kind of dive deep into our topic about reasons not to be a manager, or like reasons why maybe to stay in IC as much as you can. I don't know if it's reasons not to be a manager, but why I will share at least why, kind of for people who are considering it, what are the topics that they can consider maybe to prolong their stay at an IC level.
Sounds good. What do you want to talk about, Noah?
Yeah, I guess for me it's similar. I've been talking recently to a bunch of very talented people who are really considering this step, so it made me really think about it. And then also one of the interesting things for me that came out is some contributors who are not quite sure that they're done being a contributor and really worried about is this something you could, like, if you stop being a contributor right now, what's like is it 3 years of doing management and trying to figure it out, and then if you want to come back, like how hard it is, and could you still do it? So kind of like, could you develop a career where you're switching in between them, and what would be the costs of doing that compared to staying longer? And that's from people who are, I think, quite confident about the fact that management is interesting to them. But also from a personal perspective, I've been doing management for several years, and when I turned freelancer, I started doing a combination of management and contributor roles, and it's been really interesting and made me kind of reconsider some things and think about it from a new perspective as well for myself. So I guess having done it, I can mostly talk about the yo-yoing between them, but I could also try to reflect in early on my career and how I ended up in this, or what I've missed, I think, really. And that's for me one of the things of not being a contributor longer before I turned manager. And what about you, Ala? Since I don't think you've done management yet.
So I don't know. I mean, because I had like different thoughts on what management should be, or what you would consider as a management activity and what you would consider as individual contributor or contribution activity. And I think, Roz, you had a similar kind of experience starting off with your management experience, like kind of trying out for a little bit and being in between the two, I guess, if I remember correctly, but you can tell us a little more later. And I think I'd done a similar thing for a short period where I was mainly individual contributor in a small team, but then I ended up like somehow taking the lead for a period of time on at least the technical side. But then eventually that led me to have some responsibilities like interviewing, hiring, onboarding, making sure the distribution of workload makes sense, the structure of the team makes sense. And that was like for a short period, a couple of months, until things kind of settled down again on a new structure when we grew a little bit bigger. And then I stopped doing these stuff and I went back to be mostly individual contributor. And at the time, I didn't think of it or about it like much about what I'm doing. It was more like I did what made sense at the time that needs to be done, and I felt I can do it, or maybe some others felt that they can delegate certain tasks to me. So I think I kind of experienced a little bit that some part of it, but not all of it. And I never really been appointed as a manager ever, like in a title or like a set of responsibilities by any job I did. So yeah, I definitely would love to hear more about this, how you do it at the same time. And does it make sense in the first place? Does it work? In which conditions, which circumstances? And is it fun? and all that.
I mean, I'm happy you brought up that point, because everything you kind of mentioned right now for me is not a manager's role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of, I think our industry hates the word manager. So we all bundled it into leadership.
Yes.
And now leadership is muddled with so many things. I'm a thought leader, I'm a leader, I'm a manager leader.
Mm-hmm.
I think interviews, mentoring, onboarding is an IC role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think detached managers like myself can actually properly onboard a senior developer, because I have not been a senior developer for so long. It's better that a senior developer onboards a senior developer. I probably can still onboard the junior, and I still need to onboard the developers to what we do, what's like how we work, to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But also interviewing. I'm not the person to give the technical interview when I do interviews for my team. The team does that, right? And that's where the entire concept for me kind of breaks, as to this manager is a negative term, so we just put everything into one different basket. Because, and this is maybe a reason not to be a manager, if you want to interview people, if you want to onboard, but you still like writing code, for sure you can do that as an individual contributor. Not can, you should.
Yeah.
In places where you're not doing that, I would kind of question the management culture of that place, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I completely agree. Not only that, even to determine team makeup, I rely so much on seniors. I guess if I don't have seniors, I have to do more of these things myself and manage. But more manage from like cope, not manage. but then so much from the perspective of being technical managers, right? So much of that is really done by the support and guidance of the leadership of senior contributors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting for me also, from new people who are curious about it, who come from a tech background, the vast majority of questions I get, including through people who I feel like in startups where there's a lot of room to wear many hats, are actually doing some of it. But so they don't have the role, they don't maybe have some of the decisions, but they're doing a lot of guidance, goal setting, managing upwards, like all sorts of things that to me sound and feel a lot more like management, considering how other people contribute, considering how we work together, supporting others, and doing a lot of the communication work. They come to me and say, well, what does it mean? And what do I need to do in order to become one? And I have to kind of stop and say, well, I think you're kind of doing it. So maybe we more need to talk about like how we talk about management rather than what is it that what kind of skill you need to magically learn in order to become a manager.
Mm-hmm. What I wonder about sometimes, like, do you need a manager in many, what is the manager doing actually? And I think that's where the evil kind of stand comes from. Like, I was like, okay, everything the individual contributors, even the senior ones, don't want to do, they kind of put it to the manager, and then they think that, oh, these are like the boring stuff or the not so nice stuff we don't want to do. I don't want to fire someone, for instance, or something of that sort. So then the question is, from what you're doing now, I think mainly what you did is engineering management, if I'm not wrong. What is it like? What does it include?
The engineering management is for me, I guess.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, I was data science manager.
Okay.
Actually, it's a really good question. I would say that it's a question I got. I give a talk. Also, I do it with my seniors. I talk about leadership for senior roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then always comes that question. So why do we need managers?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you the already practiced answer I have.
Okay.
At the end of the day, if you have a team of leaders that are doing something, right? Like, and they're doing it very well. They onboard people. They already have the interviews for the technical part. Like, you have that perfect team. And you kind of want to understand what is the makeup of those things, right? You need someone maybe looking from the outside and trying to understand what is a culture that works and how to create a system that kind of replicates itself. You want to be a person that's not inside one of those teams, but maybe looking from the outside so you can have an overview. And you want a bureaucrat in the best possible way, I would say that. Like someone that can actually understand what is the goalpost and make sure that that goalpost is staying the same for the team to actually meet the success criteria. You need a person to understand the business needs and not to have all the developers joining those meetings and refine them to a point where you can start having a discussion that makes sense for the developers. You need someone to fend off the noise. And in the most obnoxious way, you kind of need a person to do the hard conversations. Because if you have, and that's the difficult part, I love the concept of no hierarchy or flat hierarchy, but if you don't have any hierarchy and people don't know who to ask, then you have implicit a hierarchy. Like people will do it. Yeah. And then they're annoyed that they're doing it, or even worse, the new joiners don't know who to ask and it's chaotic. So you kind of need to have people who they see that role as a manager as glorified garbage collector. You move all the obstacles away from that team or the teams you have and let them go as fast as possible. And at some point, when you're in the way, you need to move yourselves out of the way. That will be how I would kind of define why you need a manager. That's kind of my rehearsed, relatively rehearsed answer to this.
And do you have more to add or that you don't usually say or not really?
I mean, we can always talk about culture and all those things we talk about, but I think culture is also something that stems from the people. Mm-hmm. If you have good ICs, they define the culture as well. Like you kind of, and if they hire, like you as a manager, you need to set the values and then people just kind of set accordingly. It's really mostly boring HR stuff that you kind of have to do. It's boring budget stuff that you kind of have to do, at least for those who are managing budget as well. And it's really difficult conversations that you really have to do as a manager. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it.
Yeah. And then I guess for me, I think we think about it very much alike, but I probably used different words before. So I'll give my perspective and then we'll see how if we're all in agreement or there's something where we're doing slightly differently or thinking about it slightly differently. So I guess I've always worn two kind of management hats, which is managing the people, which I know in some places is separated out, but it's something that's really important and I personally am really interested in. Being good people manager and being I would say an interface to the business as well. And at the end, I think partly it's useful to have one is from a certain size. I don't think tiny startups need it, but from a certain size, there's just too many people in the business to talk to understand how you fit in the large scope. There's HR, there's all the other teams that are working, and there's just so many connections and different business processes that to have an IC do that, effectively you take them out of contributor and make them a manager. So it's kind of like the person in the team that is making sure that we know all the different business needs, all the dependencies, things that might come up down the road, how are different people thinking and solving things, also for fairness, even as people managers or other things. So one thing is, and I think that's very much aligned with what Drad was saying. And I think, I don't know, for me, the difficult conversation can happen in both sides. It's kind of a skill that you need to learn how to do. But then for people management, for being an interface to the business, I think the number one thing you need to think about is communication, and then like business knowledge, right? Understanding how to work with different functions, knowing things beyond your scope and caring about how other people work and what they need and how that influences what your team needs to do or not, or the other way, what your team does needs to influence what they're doing. And I already used my next word. So communication and caring, like being a people management, it's just for me all about caring. It's about being really invested in the team as a team and how they're performing, and then in the individuals, in their careers, in their in the things they feel comfortable or uncomfortable about. It gets very smooshy and mushy very quickly, where it's not really just about performance or how we fit into a business. At the end, it's people that need to come together and deliver something big and complicated, and all of those people dependencies are not necessarily someone, it's usually someone, especially if they're junior or haven't worked before elsewhere, but also maybe someone who didn't have good support from a previous people manager. It's stuff you need to learn and support and enable. So you're kind of like a counselor. You need to know when everything works, you can get out of their way, but not everything always works. And there are always people joining or leaving, and like being the person that helps the team deal with all of these constant changes, mm-hmm. And then communicate to them what business needs, or represent them to business when they need. So that's, to me, kind of the way I've been thinking about it. Yeah. And at the end, with leadership setting goals or things like that, because you support it, not because the ICs can't do it, but because you then have the business perspective, right? So you need to break down, this is what the business goals are, and they can break it down into what the team needs to do, and then you can communicate it back out and make sure that everything is aligned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what we kind of started doing now?
No. Mm-hmm.
We kind of started talking about why be a manager?
not why, just what. Now let's talk about why you don't want to do it.
So I think
what might be interesting is, I don't know, Raz or Ala, did you know this is what management was when you first considered switching from IC to management? And if so, what were your considerations in making that change?
So I did know to a degree. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, like, in detail, but in general, I knew that with management, I will have to deal with everything you mentioned, basically budgeting, people related stuff. There will be lots of maybe boring and hard conversation things, and there will be lots of interfacing with other shareholders, stakeholders, business in general. And that's something I always wanted to try and do. And I think that's a challenge I would love to try and see if I can do that.
What about you, Raz?
And you should. My story is a bit more complicated because, you talked to Ronnie already. So back in the day when I worked with him, he was promoted to manager group. And he basically came and said, hey, I think you would be a great manager for this team. You already are like the tech leader. So why don't you try? And I hated it so much. I hated every second of it. Every meeting I was in, I thought it's so boring, and I just wanted to write code and not be in those meetings. Because I started like many dorks who are like me, who grew up writing Pascal or something and falling in love with writing code in high school or even, I don't know, middle school. And I wanted to go to computer science because I was excited about writing code, not about being in meetings talking to what are the market's criteria and what is the product definition and how does it fit to other team that is waiting for that feature so they continue to build on it. And at that specific point in time when it happened to me organically, I hated it so much that it took me a year to basically resign because I just couldn't continue.
And then I you guess went back to being a contributor?
Yes, I went back to being a contributor. Cool. I went to another job. I was a senior developer. I was looking for a job to be a senior developer. I was like, I'm done with this. I never want to do it again in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I am now talking about management as a manager. But I think back then I would say that my mindset was, I actually loved doing what I was doing. And management is a different role, right? We all agree on that. It's a fork in the road. It's something else. And my heart wasn't in that fork. I wanted to continue to do what I actually signed up for. I think with time, and that's where I did became a manager, it happened organically again. I moved to Berlin, kind of started the team relatively from scratch alongside the product manager. So I was a one developer. We had a team leader, but after a while he was fired. So we kind of end up being just two of us. And then it became successful. We hired more people and I kind of had to do it.
Yeah.
And that's also where that shifted for me as well. Like, it was like, oh, I don't hate it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My mind, it was at someplace else. And I would say that maybe that's like will be my, reasoning is also to think about, have you maximized, have you squeezed that lemon completely of that enjoying that writing code? Or do you have some more time? Because you can always just be a manager at another. Like, opportunities for managers, they're always there. So yeah,
and yet I think probably there are still more opportunities for individual contributor roles. Oh, so yeah,
that's
I mean,
for sure a good reason not to change to management. Yeah. There are like a ratio of 1 to 6 jobs.
Yeah, that's basically something definitely want to talk about, like as an individual contributor, how much it's changed from just writing code and in a sense mm-hmm. to yeah. include what we have just mentioned so far, that like okay, you end up also managing up towards your manager in a way, and the more experienced and the more experienced in the domain you're working on, or longer you have been in that domain or in that company, maybe the more responsibility fall on you. Regardless, like it's even business interfacing becomes in part of your job, I think. Doesn't mean that it's your main responsibility as a manager would do it, but as you mentioned, Noah, you will be brought in to provide your expertise, and that expertise or that input will not be valid until you are also involved in the business level. Like you need to understand it very well to give the right input, otherwise you're just, I don't know if a manager would be able then to translate all the time accurately. It becomes impossible at some point. So as individual contributor, you grow in that role, and you end up dealing with so many things, and just keeps kind of like yeah. expanding, and it doesn't stop at like just writing code as a placeholder here in terms typing in your yeah.
I guess we already discussed or brought up at least one reason not to do it, which is if you still like being an individual contributor and enjoy it and want to do it longer, then, and especially if your heart's not into it, because I do think there are opportunities, and even as given an example of going back to being an individual contributor, then please consider not doing it. Like the fact, I've heard this a lot, where people feel like, well, you're the best at it, or well, someone just left, or we need someone, and then that often it goes that they go to someone who's senior and probably doesn't have communication issues, and kind of like assign or offer it to you in a way that seems, and I think that's one of the trickiest things, that it always seems like a career advancement. It's like, it's a weird thing to say no to. But yeah, I think that's one very good reason not to do it. I want to bring up another one, which I guess, so I, when I switched into being a team manager, I did do management before. I did project and account management. So things that I didn't manage people, but I definitely had management skills, and I've been doing community organization work, like I think since I was 12 or something. I think that part of the job seemed less new or scary to me. For me, the hardest change in becoming a team lead, and definitely also later on in other more senior positions, was going from being a part of the team to being alone. So that is one really big change, where you're a part of the team, but you're not. You have a different relationship. You have a lot of privileges that they don't have. You are more senior. You do have more power, that changes the relationship. Even if I've had amazing experiences where I felt in many ways completely part of the team. Still, you are in charge of those tough conversations. You are in charge of value decisions, as when it comes to salaries or hiring or firing and so on. That puts you in a different place compared to the team, in a different relationship. And I guess I haven't. I mean, you can say you're in a group of peers with other middle managers, but they're not in your, this is not really a team to me. At least I don't have that same feeling. And I also look for other groups of peers. That's why we do we also do like tech leadership meetups and all sorts of places, and just talking to other people I know who are in that stage of their career, and those kind of roles. But yeah, you really are kind of sandwiched, especially as middle management, but I can't imagine it gets much better more senior up. Maybe all the executives feel like a happy team, but I guess like you also all feel like you're just pulling in different directions, And for someone who really likes being a part of the team, which I was, that was like the biggest, the hardest thing in the first year, was to figure how I do that well and how I feel well doing it.
That's pretty two good reasons not to be a manager unless you really know you can deal with these two things.
Let me give you another one.
Oh boy, yeah, okay, please. There is
and,
more?
And
okay.
This is my favorite
yes,
one.
Yes, I have more.
Oh boy.
I
don't want to be a manager anymore. Okay.
You really don't have any power as a manager. Yes. And we're talking about right. the type of managers we are right now, which is not hierarchical. We are supporting roles. It's very, very, very difficult to create this culture shift when what you're doing is massaging the culture and you cannot say, you know what, just do it as I tell you because I know best. It's not a tool that you have in your arsenal, and it's not a tool that you should use because you probably don't know best. But
right.
So you kind of need to play like you're running a marathon while all the developers are actually running sprints, literally. Mm-hmm. They get their success criteria and everything for a small turn, and you need to look for a year. And in an agile world where everything is changing, you need to have a vision and you kind of play with culture as your tool set, and you're putting all those things to change the culture to where you think you should be, but that also changes. It's like a very wishy-washy kind of game you're playing, and you do not have a lot of power. You basically do a lot of experiments, and you kind of play with that and the hiring to change, and you tweak. But at the end of the day, you might actually be successful in one team and be completely unsuccessful in another. And I don't know, sometimes I attribute most of those success stories to random luck.
No, or to the team. Like, there are so many times where I'm like, the fact that this worked is because, like, at the end, we're supporting them, and maybe we gave some support, but they're the ones that need to make the change, to make the tweak, to get it to happen. And so it's very easy for me to feel like, yeah, I mean, they're continuously evaluating their success as theirs, and then I mostly notice when I mess up, right? Or if I or I notice a lot, like, all those difficult points, they seem to have a lot of weight in your year or your ongoing time, and it's really... Like, as long as your team is performing and highly performing, supposedly you're doing great, but it doesn't feel like you're doing so much. It feels mostly that you're doing stuff when you're not doing well. And then you're like noticing all the stuff you have to learn. So it is a very frustrating, I think if you like the reward of delivery, of execution, which is, as we said, a lot of what the teams we manage do, then moving into a management role, you're going to be losing that kind of feedback loop that makes you happy at work. You'll need to find a new way to be happy at work. And it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
I want to branch at this point.
Please.
With a quick question to you then, because this is one of the most interesting topics to me these days. Incentives. If it is not delivery reward or the reward of achieving something on a scale that you can see your contribution directly, what does incentivize you in this case instead? What is the other thing that makes you keep going with this? Where is the reward coming from?
Mm.
Is it personal? Like feeling that you're helping a team to achieve something is a reward by itself, or is it something else?
I guess I get a lot of rewards from being a good people manager. I think that part of the work is really rewarding. Having good, honest conversations with people, having people, see them develop in their career, see them appreciate the support, like that gratitude can be a very good, from both sides, a very good way to feel good at work. But it's probably, I guess I lean on that in some ways. It's something that I find personally very, very motivating, and being good at it helps me like do the rest of it. And then I guess the other things I think are harder to get as far as fast reward, as I said before, but like at the end, sometimes you're the defense for your team. Being an interface means you are also so being able to sometimes know things or know that you stop things or making sure that things don't get to the team level, that they don't need to deal with it, and that's where it can also be sometimes you might tell them, but sometimes you might not, because you're trying to save them this burden of knowing this, of being into it, of worrying about these things happening, and I think that's maybe it's kind of a, let's say it's bittersweet, right? Because it's not necessarily easy, but you do see the value in it.
Right.
And you constantly need to think of yourself or the people on your team or yourself as an individual contributor, like what is the worth of me being able to do that? But I think the most positive and gratifying one is working one-on-one with people and seeing them succeed. I think that's the more special feeling.
Do you get any, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rose.
Basically the same.
Okay. What were you asking, Anna?
Do you get any sometimes fast positive feedback or reward-like feedback from upper management or, like, let's say, even shareholders, perhaps, when you talk to them? I know that almost never happens because it's really hard. It seems hard for them to... Maybe special people, smart or experienced, wouldn't recognize the role of a manager or their contribution, but not all of them. So do you get any of
that? So for me, I guess it really depends on where I work. There are places I've worked at where that happens. It would be more on the rare side. mostly people like talking to you when things are not good. And especially I think it's because, again, we're service teams a lot of the times. Every once in a while, I don't know, at least it feels to me, I hope it feels good to the team, but a lot of the time I'm a part of making sure that the team receives gratitude. So, like, you know, we're like, who are we going to highlight when? And I like prepare what you should be telling them they did well. And and so I guess the team gets it, but I'm a part of doing it. And then for myself, more rare than common. I don't know, Elaz, if you have better experience. I hope you have better experiences.
I mean, I have similar experience, I guess. I mean, yeah. I get... every time I got credit, I always felt I didn't deserve it anyhow. So it's part of that, right? Like, because the team actually did something and you facilitated it. I really deserve that credit? It actually belongs to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we touched already on it. It's the gratification of... it's like you're running a different race where the teams, they're running sprints, they get a daily, and you know that, Ala, you fix a bug, it takes you a day. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
For management, I don't know, you look at it, if you're lucky, at quarterly basis. Like at quarterly basis, if you're lucky, you can actually count your success stories or not. And then it's only like, I don't know, you're a part of that success story, right? Like you were kind of there, you massaged it, you can see. Maybe you did something good there or not.
Interesting.
So it's weird, and it's like the classic, I think Noah mentioned that, it's the classic, in good functioning teams, there's always the question, what is the manager even doing here? Like, why do we need that person?
Mm.
And when the teams are not functioning at all, it's always aren't the managers fixing this?
Yeah.
It's weird, like, because it really is a fuzzy term. And that's where, if you don't like that feeling of being always on the wrong side of that equation, you will be as a manager, don't get into that. It sucks.
we have this bias in general that we only notice things when they are broke or not working, catastrophic, etc., more than when they are actually functioning, right? You don't notice that electricity is working until it's gone or the value of it and so on. Yeah, that's a problem. And a manager being in that situation, then... It's frustrating, as you mentioned before. All right, what's the next reason not to be a manager then?
Okay, so I've one that that bugs me more and more over time, because I think in the beginning I was learning and still developing myself as a manager, and I don't think I'm perfect, but I think I learned a lot, and I think I care a lot about doing it well. I'm continuously learning, but there are situations that I maybe feel more comfortable in right now than I did before. And one of the most frustrating things for me is to often be and I'm talking, of course, about tech companies, in situations where there's a bunch of managers around you that really don't care about how good they are at doing management. Sometimes they're managers, sometimes not. I've also had like really good managers, also good in different ways. And that's part of understanding that you can learn from, like, there are managers who maybe I felt I was better at one aspect of it, but they were better at another. And that really helped me grow. So I really appreciated that. But being in a group and working, interfacing to other teams where the other managers maybe don't really care so much, or might even be worse if there's a few people who are maybe more toxic and ended up in a management position, being the person who then takes all of the garbage really, really sucks. It's really bad to face all of it. It's really weird that even if you're able to give feedback for people about how maybe they should grow as a manager, not everybody cares to grow. So it's not that different, I guess, than being an individual contributor and seeing someone who doesn't really care about the quality and like just slacking off and not worrying how much problems they give to you, not being a good team player. But here, again, it's iffier. It's harder for people to know if they're doing it well. It's harder for people to get feedback on it. It's harder for an organization to develop it in a certain way, or some of them just even don't, I think, evaluate management on its own. They evaluate it on the success and the productivity of the teams. And as long as a team is productive, they don't really care that there's a lot of friction going on and that the culture is not necessarily good, whether it's across everybody or between individual groups. It's like, okay, this is hard. We're here to do hard things. And this aspect, again, when you're alone, when you're in a team, I can bear it. But when you're alone facing this, I find it really, really, like, that really gets to me. Like, that, I definitely, those are the days where I really feel alone and where I feel like there's nothing I can do. I don't feel empowered because I tried my best maybe to communicate to that person that they should care more. Because this is a job about caring, as I said, and when I don't see it, I don't see people curious about growing in that role, it really breaks me. and seeing doing that for a while, I think that's maybe why I like maybe I need a break because I need a break for myself, like for my mental wellness, to just not be facing this a lot. And I don't know if there are also being like minority issues or things like that maybe make me see things that are invisible to others. And I'm sure that's something that plays into it as well. But it's definitely hard.
Yeah, I can only basically say the same thing. So. Totally agree.
Yeah. So you go from being in a group of people who want to be exceptional or care a lot about doing things to being alone and working with a bunch of people who really don't care. As long as everything is working or so their manager evaluates them, they really... And it sounds like I'm talking only about toxicity. Not only. Like, there are people who's just out of... It's not where... it's not the type of feedback they're getting, and not everybody ended up in a management role because they wanted to become a manager, as we know.
Right.
And it is something that's really tricky to figure out in these organizations. If HR isn't leading on making sure that management is evaluated and taught, and there's a level of quality there, which often. I guess if you're in a big enough organization, it becomes a thing. But in a small organization, it's something that comes much, much later. That's really hard. That's like, I need a break.
Okay.
Let's talk about... Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Ryan. No, go ahead.
I was about to say, let's talk about another thing because the world is changing. Mm-hmm. And another good reason not to be a manager is that more and more companies are paying IECs, individual contributors, more than managers now. And that's awesome. I have people in my department who are individual contributors that make more money than me as a manager because they actually bring more quantifiable value than me. Mm-hmm. And the more we have that, the more we can actually let people make their choice according to not how much money I can get or what is the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But actually what I love doing. I took a manager role and I would have, I probably shouldn't say it out loud, mm-hmm. but I probably would have done it for less pay, which I have already to Wikimedia, for example, because that's my passion now. And I'm bouncing in and out of it, which is something we can talk about later if you should or not. But that's my passion. And if your passion is to actually be an individual contributor, but you're thinking about your family and how much money you can make, then you probably will make that bad decision and find yourself as a manager who doesn't want to be a manager, which mm-hmm. is the worst version of a manager.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And it is similar to some of the other reasons you've mentioned. It's like kind of stems from this traditional bad way of looking on management or who should be a manager to begin with. Like, is it just the one who, is it a hierarchy development thing? Mm-hmm. Is it just the one that have the most expertise in the topic, then they should move to management because they know best on technical level, which both don't make sense. I mean, we know better now, but I don't know how many companies made the switch to a better management model.
I have another one. I just realized.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I have something. And this is maybe me kind of, I don't know, because I've started like 6 years ago as an engineering manager. I kind of progressed and now I'm managing a huge department. At Wikimedia, I was also managing managers. there is, and I'm not saying anything against my managers right now. I'm just saying that's okay. Just making sure that we're clear. You're great. The more you progress as a manager, the less attention you're going to get, which makes sense. Because the focus of executives or chiefs is more strategical. It's more how to look at things in a holistic, large way. And if as an individual contributor, your relationship with your manager was important to you, as far as growth, as having those checkpoints and all those things, you'll get them less and less as you grow into manager role, because you gain independence in that sense. You kind of gain the ability to also make the mistakes, and you can ask for help, but usually it doesn't come in the same cadence as you're used to as an individual contributor. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people say that executives are really bad managers, but I would say it's just different type of managers where you kind of move to a place where you cannot give the same amount of detail to the people you're managing. At least that's my feeling. And it's really hard sometimes with like this and being alone is to realize that your manager is also responsible on too many things, and he or she are not available to you when you feel you need them, because that's as an individual contributor you got. As an individual contributor, I went to Oni all the time and said, hey, let's have a coffee because I need to vent. Mm-hmm. My current manager right now, who's a great manager, is in meetings all day long. And if I need to vent, I need to schedule something 2 weeks in advance. And by then I probably forget, or I need to wait to our one-on-one. And by then, I don't know, I probably vented with myself. So it's a different type of management. And that's maybe true. It's difficult to move from like individual contributor to that first line manager to feel, oh, I have less attention now from my manager and the need is more, it's on you.
Yeah, so you're not only not part of a team, you also get less support and care from
those.
Yeah,
exactly. The care flow changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is normal. I mean, if you think of a CEO, you wouldn't think of a CEO like sitting with the CTO and kind of like doing the same thing as an engineering manager would with an individual contributor, right? It kind of is normal. It makes sense, but it's difficult.
Yeah. I guess one thing that, again, talking about the changing worlds that could I still see, I haven't seen it widely, but I've seen it in some places, and one can only hope that it will become a trend, is that, so I think what I've seen in a lot of places that executives have coaches, and there are some companies that start offering coaching as an in-house service for external service to managers as well. And I think that really comes to that, like having someone to talk to about your work seems to, I think more and more companies are at least some companies has a culture that allows them to realize that this is important, but it's definitely not the norm, and it's definitely not going to happen everywhere. Maybe would be nice if it became a regular thing.
Agree
completely. Agree.
Yeah.
All right. So, any more reasons?
I mean, I think there's a lot. I like that we talked about ones that we really feel. I guess we could always do a follow up. I wanted to maybe mention something we'll put in the show notes, which is a fantastic blog post from Charity, who we've had here before. She at some point wrote down 17 reasons, I think, of why not to be a manager. I found it really useful to read, and also a really useful resource for people who are considering or thinking about it, not considering it, to help them think this out. So please check that out. I think it's a really good way to start thinking about it for yourself.
I can also say, because people here know Yael, our co-host, she read the article and decided not to move to managerial role for the next couple of years. She kind of, after she read it, she felt like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I still want to be a product manager and to be with the squad. Instead of taking that step back, I actually still enjoy exactly everything, and everything that's written there worked well for her. And it took away that, maybe our will always to move forward in that sense. Like there is this feeling of management is just the next step. And that article kind of breaks it down that it's not the next step. It's just a different step.
Yeah, and the other side of that coin, since I do hear this a lot, especially from, non-cis male people I I coach or support a bit or mentor, is that it could be that you don't need to wait to do it. It could be that you're ready, Especially people who think that they need to know everything before they start a job. You're going to learn this by doing it. At the end, so much of it, this is incidental to the people you actually manage, the situations you're actually facing. And so don't wait maybe too long to do it. If you are going to do it, then kind of go for it.
All right. So let's wrap it up. So I don't want to be a manager anymore. You succeeded in convincing me. No, half
Wait,
kidding.
Wait, can we go around? Can we list all of the reasons we just gave?
Sure.
I'm not sure I can do it by myself in my head.
Let's do that.
We can just try together. A communal hive mind.
Let's do that. So I remember that you will be alone for a part of time, maybe in the beginning. You might deal with lots of managers who don't care much about growing in their role, and thusly they don't necessarily improve the quality of their management, and then you end up like with maybe cleaning up their bad work at some point because they don't get the right feedback from their upper management for whatever reason. And there is the pay is another reason that individual contributors now get even more pay. So it's not anymore a reason that if you want to grow in your pay scale, then you have to be a manager. No, not anymore. And there is, what was it? Dealing with execs that might treat you, depending on which management you are and which department, but if you're in tech engineering, then you might be treated as like more of a service team, and you will be bombarded by requests, and you will get also the highest budget in most cases for tech products, and then you end up like more into under more scrutiny, more pressure, more evaluation, so on and so forth. Those are the things that I can remember.
You don't have necessarily immediate feedback. It's kind of hard to feel mm-hmm. good sometimes in the job,
right,
to know that you're doing well. Is the more, the better, as I was saying, the better you're doing at it, it seems like you're not doing anything. And then you'll also get maybe less care from your own manager. So you're going to be investing more in others and receiving less by yourself. So that's the other side of being alone, not just that you're not a part of the team, but that you're also... Yeah, you just get less support.
And my initial reason, I loved writing code back then. So
right.
As
yeah.
long as you
and if you
love
like what you
this,
do.
Yeah, if you like what you do, then just do what you like.
All right, so it was lovely to be back. It was so much fun, and we are TechPoint Charlie, and you can find us on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and TechPointCharlie.blog. We'd love to hear from you. What are more topics you'd like us to talk about? People you think we should be talking to? I guess that's it for now. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.